Scripture today is one of my favorite texts from Psalm 16. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. Let's hold off on the boundary lines. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. The psalmist is celebrating the heritage that he has gotten from his ancestors. Yesterday, Darren, and our son, and I had been given a free round of golf in a scramble tournament, which we actually won. I was trying to figure out how to work that into the sermon, so now I've got it in there. Actually, the only reason we won is a couple of guys who were going to play with us didn't show up, and Howard Freeman, some of you know Howard Freeman, and a guy named Tom, who is the absolute best golfer I've ever been around in my life, carried us all the way around. But Darren said something interesting to me. He said, you know, I don't play very much, but I get lucky. I'm really a lucky guy. I win these things at these tournaments. And the next shot, he won the closest to the pin on the par three. He actually won it. And he said, you know, I'm lucky in the little things, but I'm aware that in the big things, it's really God's hand. And he used the phrase that I hadn't heard before. I'm aware very much of multi-generational blessing. It was his phrase for I have a goodly heritage. And he referred to mom and dad and the heritage of faith that is a part of his now and his family's life. And I thought that was really a nice way to say it, a multi-generational blessing. Today I want to talk about moms, and I want you to think about your own mom as I reflect about mine here in a couple of minutes. But Siobhan often calls me on Friday or Thursday and asks how the sermon's going, and so she knows how much to pray or what kind of additional help she can offer. So she said, here's on my Facebook page, Dad. I've carried a child within my body, slept with a baby on my chest. I've kissed boo-boos and mended broken hearts. I've been puked on, peed on, and pooped on. Spent sleepless nights in the rocking chair, but I wouldn't have it any other way. My body isn't magazine perfect, but when I look in the mirror, I see a mom, and there's no greater honor or blessing. That's pretty good. In my study, I have across the way there a picture of mom and me. And so as I reflect on my mom, I just invite you to reflect on that person who's been so real and special to you. Mom died in 1998 of ALS. Her mom died when she was only 2 months old, and my mom therefore didn't know if she would have children or if she would be a good mom. And of course, she had six boys, and she was an amazing mom. She was a farm mom, which wasn't easy. She would run to the town to get a part for the tractor or make three big meals every day. She and Dad were married on Mother's Day. For some odd reason, I never heard of this before. He was married at 6:30 in the morning, Sunday morning. Dad said so he could then go and milk the cows. I don't know. It wasn't an easy life for Mom. Mom had a maple cream paddle about this long that she made maple syrup into maple cream and maple candy. And she also used it for her son's bottoms occasionally. I remember two times. She did love me unconditionally, and I could tell her anything, and she believed in me. She loved our community, and she saw the larger world. Her life and Dad's life, our life, was understated and ordinary. But the older I've gotten, the more I appreciate ordinary. And there's a lot to be said for that. She and Dad were a moral compass and still Christian values. I've wondered occasionally where my intense desire to connect with people from different parts of the world and different ethnicities came from. And I'm not sure exactly, but I remember when I was a kid, Dad and Mom had folks from India come and stay a week in our home, part of the land grant, 4-H extension sort of thing. And maybe that's what opened all that up to me. She loved our kids, and she was a great mom. On this Mother's Day service, I just want to speak, though, words of encouragement and appreciation and affirmation for moms, to say thank you for all you do. My experience with moms, my own and Jan, is that we men can be self-absorbed, well, some of us here, and too easily, too often, take for granted the people in our lives and all that our moms do. Most moms I know are juggling enormous numbers of things, lots of things, and all those spinning plates. And so much of what you moms do is putting your own agenda, your own interests, your own desires, and sometimes your personal hopes and dreams on hold. You don't begrudge it, but there's a sacrifice. It's a satisfying sacrifice, but a sacrifice nevertheless. So as I say today, I just want to speak words of encouragement and appreciation. On Friday of this week, after I'd had the sermon pretty well in hand, I met with some young mothers for another purpose, and I asked them, what would you like to hear in a sermon on Mother's Day? And they were very helpful. Here are three things that they shared. One, we would like permission to take care of ourselves. We would like permission to take care of ourselves. Secondly, we would like to hear that what I do and who I am is noticed and appreciated. Who I am and what I do is noticed and appreciated. Wow, Mom, thanks for always being there. The third, sometimes I just need a big, wonderful hug, is what they said. So if you look at the front of the cover of your bulletin, I've got just four or five notes here. And I think we who are in your lives, we feel grateful and we have joy when you feel good about you. When you feel good about you. It's often a big challenge because lots of moms have a challenge about feeling good about themselves because they're doing so many things and they're spread so thin and they... I remember when I was in graduate school and Jan and I had our two children, and I remember feeling I'm not a very good student, I'm not a very good father, I'm not a very good husband, and I'm not a very good pastor, because I was trying to do all that. And you moms do that so many times every day. So I want to read to you a scripture from Psalm 139, and I hope you'll hear this as God's word to you today. Psalm 139. This is the psalmist speaking to God. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Did you hear that? Because you are fearfully and wonderfully made. God, your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days adorned for me were written in your book, before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. And there are those times, you young moms, you remember, or you who aren't so young, remember when you hid in the bathroom and locked the door just to be alone, or the closet, and you're child would knock and you pretended you weren't in there. That's okay. And you just wanted the loan, but here's the other part of that psalm is, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the morning, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. Thank God that when we want to get away from it all, God won't let us get away from Him. And God's Spirit will be there sustaining you and strengthening you in the midst. So I hope you feel good about who you are. And what you do does matter. Secondly, when you take time to be healthy, as one mom said, we would like permission to take care of ourselves. And probably with that is if those around you can say, and how can I help? We'll get a sitter. Let's figure out how. I'll watch the kids. My doctor said to me years ago, Dan, if you'll walk vigorously 40 to 50 minutes a day, 5 days a week at least, you'll feel better, you'll be healthy, you'll live longer. For a long time, I didn't pay any attention. Now I guard that with my life because it is life to me to do that. And I just, as you can carve out the time, I just would say to you, take that time, guard it, be healthy as you can, because you can't give what you don't have. And if you don't fill that in, you don't have enough to give out. It's so important. You'll be glad you did. Three, when you allow yourself to be imperfect. There's something about being a mom and being a perfectionist that go together in a strong way. It's a tough load. Maybe it's the voices of other people who say, oh, your children should be this, or your children should be that, or this sense of accomplishment, and this sense of perfection is pretty big for lots of people. Listen to what 2 Corinthians 12 says, where Paul is saying this. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. When I am weak, then I am strong. When you allow yourself to be imperfect, the emphasis is not on what you miss, but on the next step of what you can do. And you allow yourself grace, and you allow yourself to, and others, a sense of grace. When our kids were young, I was in graduate school, and I was very clear. I wanted our kids to be brilliant. I was going to get them in Hebrew school and learn Hebrew and take Suzuki violin, all these sorts of things. And Jan said, Dan, you may be smart, but you have a right to be wrong and stupid. She didn't say that. She probably thought that. She said, no, Dan, my goal for our kids is that they'll be happy, healthy, and a sense of belonging. And just that shift allows imperfection and an extension of grace. Perfection isn't such a tenacious thing in that way. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 4, what every parent should remember, chapter 4, verse 7. We parents, you moms, have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. Well, may you extend yourself grace to be imperfect. Rely on the grace and strength of God. Four, I just copied out of the message in Romans chapter 12 several things that Paul says there. When you let the love of Jesus radiate out from within you, I just encourage you to put these on your refrigerator or whatever, all of us. First of all, love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. These are Paul's words through the message. Love from the center of who you are. Secondly, run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. I'm old enough and have lived long enough and have heard enough to know that temptations are strong. Temptations are really strong, both for men and for women. And Paul's words ought to be emblazoned on our hearts. Run for dear life from evil. There's so much at stake. See, be good friends who love deeply. I love that phrase. Be good friends who love deeply. D, don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. However you do that, don't let yourselves get burned out. E, Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. As James reminded us, persevere. Persevere. Help others. Keep a frame of reference beyond yourself so that you and your children will not be so self-absorbed, but you'll be helping others. And bless your enemies. And God gave me a different word for enemies here. I thought, you know, instead of the traditional sense of enemies, what if you thought of your enemies as these words? Schedule. Lack of time. Just bless God for it. Thank God for it. Give it to God. Stress. Tiredness. Dishes. Laundry. Bless your enemies. Laugh with your happy friends when they're happy and share tears when they're down. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. And discover the beauty in everyone. I love, you know, some people think Paul is overly harsh in his words, but wow, this is so good. And then finally, I would just encourage you, number five, make it your goal in life to put the hands of your family into the hand of God. This came from somebody who was asked, what's your goal in life? And he said, my goal in life is to put the hands of my family into the hand of God. There's probably not a higher calling. You might think financial security, and that's enormously important that you can, if you can help with your family that way, or education, yes. But whatever you can do through prayer to put your children, your family into the hand of God. Would you pray with me? God, we're here today because we have a goodly heritage. Somebody somewhere, somehow, talk to us or share with us or live before us the love of God. And whether we're multi-generational faith persons or maybe we're just starting that out for the next generation, whatever our calling is, we want to thank you. We thank you for our moms and for the care and love that they provide, and just for who they are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to receive Holy Communion on this special day and in your chairs. And let's follow the liturgy, though. Would you join me? Read responsibly. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You brought all things into being and called them good from the dust of the earth. You formed us into your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. We proclaim Christ's death on the cross for our sins. And we pray that we might be united with Christ in his sacrifice for us and so be delivered from our slavery to sin and death. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread and gave thanks to you and broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When the supper was over, he took the cup and gave thanks to you and gave it to his disciples and said, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by His blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at His heavenly banquet. By Christ, and with Christ, and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. Ushers, would